Glory to Jesus Christ. Thank you for joining us. The aim of this class is to gain the art of spiritual life through the teaching of Holy Bishop Ignatius Branchaninov. This study has already transformed many lives, and we hope your life will be transformed too.
In the name of the Father, with the Son, of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
For thine the kingdom, and power, and glory, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, now and ever and forever.
Amen. Amen.
So welcome back to our study, and I see, I forgot name again.
John.
Josh. Okay, new face. Thank you that you came, and there are some connection with us parish, so I learned, so welcome, and enjoy. I'm sorry, I don't have like free cup, extra copies. Next time I will have, okay, but we have to. I am very happy that we can welcome today our very special guest, our bishop, Bishop Milan, that he came to join this our group, and with Father Francis. It's always difficult to say this, you know, because it is like Holy Father Francis goes like like from the liturgy, yeah. So it's difficult. You make it difficult for me. And so my suggestion, I would like to use this opportunity, because always when Bishop is around, we have to use opportunity to, because he is the teacher in eparchy. He is this Holy Father of the eparchy who gives instruction and teaching. So I hope that Saint Ignatius Branchaninov would not be upset if we give him only part of our time. And I would like to take another part to give a floor to our bishop to give us some few words, or if you have a questions, you are interested in some things. While I think that, well, I will protect him against bad questions. So be aware of that, you know. So think twice. But all good questions, I think that. I will be very willingly to give us answer. Okay. So let's start with at least few paragraphs from our book we study. We are going to continue on page 146, somewhere in the middle, when it is paragraph starts with during life's difficult time, and it is very interesting. Like advice from Bishop Branchaninov, you know. May I ask you to write?
During life's difficult times, make your prayers to God more frequent. Prayer is more dependable than the empty reasoning of man's weak mind that leads to nothing. It is better to lean on the Almighty God with faith and prayer than to trust your own sick reason with its feeble ideas and solutions. Do not be foolish.
Okay. Let's stop here. I'm sorry, I didn't mark
it
well.
It's okay.
I would like to stop here because this is very important paragraph. It seems on the first glance that, well, sure, if I am in difficult time, in difficulties, I'm sick, that, well, I pray more to God. But yes, we do this, but there is always some kind of danger in our spiritual life, that because in these times we really start to question many things, and if there are residue of our pride or some kind of vainglory in us, so those passions can start to raise their voice, and we start to think that why this is happening to me, even if we pray, you know, that. But, and slowly we will slip to a, not slip, what is if you go down?
Slide
down to depression, or some people become very cynical. That I remember one lady, and she suffered a lot of, because there were like a lot of almost tragical events in her life, and she became broken. And she started like cynical, suspicious against everybody, because of this difficulty. So if Ignatius asks us that we should pray, we should pray with all our power, but we have to remember that even that we have to remember this, how our heart is, settings of our heart. And we have to understand that even these difficulties are, has meaning. Like Saint Isaac Syrian, he says that blessed are men who knows his weakness. That if we know our weakness, if we know our difficulties, if we know that we are poor, so we are blessed. Because he said that, because this knowledge, we were talking before, like, that blessed are those who are poor in spirit. If we reach this level that we are poor in spirit, it means that humility reigns in our hearts. So he says this knowledge becomes like base for and root for and the beginning of all good things. That even bad things can become huge knowledge for us. Knowledge, because and this knowledge makes us happy, you know, super happy. Even we face these difficulties. So this faith, this prayer, we pray, but we in the same way, this prayer should be this expression of my hope. I have to remember this teaching Holy Father. They say, well, if you are in difficulties, pray with hope, because pray that these bad things has meaning in God's this plan. In his providence, there is hidden some kind of blessing for you in this. And if you receive that in faith and hope, this new knowledge will be revealed to you, and you will, there will be blessing from you. Oh, do you get it? The questions? Comments? Thank you. Let's continue.
Do not be foolish in your petitions, so as...
Three paragraphs.
Okay. So as not to anger God through your stupidity. Whoever asks something pitiful from the King of Kings demeans him. The Israelites, ignoring the miracles of God done on their behalf in the desert, asked only for the satisfaction of their stomachs. But while the food was still in their mouths, the heavy wrath of God came upon them. Bring to God petitions that are appropriate to his greatness. Solomon asked for wisdom. He received it, and with it many other benefits, because his request was wise. Elisha asked for the grace of the Holy Spirit, greater even than his teachers, and his request was granted. Whoever seeks through prayer to receive perishable earthly goods only angers the heavenly King. Angels and archangels, the leaders of God's hosts, look upon you and your petitions during prayer. They are amazed with joy when they see an earthly creature leave his earth behind him to seek heavenly goods. However, they mourn the one who leaves the heavenly unnoticed, asking only for his own dust and ashes.
Great. Thank you very much. Isn't it powerful what he says? And I need to tell you that when I was preparing for that, I was reading another Holy Father at the time. And what I found out is that Bishop Brancheno is a thief, because he stole these words from Isaac Assyrian. If you go to the third homily of Isaac Assyrian, you find almost exactly what he says here. And so it's not negative. This is very positive things, and I am bringing to your attention is that to see this continuity, that we see reflection of teaching, the same teaching which goes, like Brancino lived in 19th century, Isaac Assyrian 9th century, 1,000 years were between those two saints, and they were saying the same thing. And what is the best confirmation of this, the same, not changed spiritual tradition which runs through generation to generation? And what Isaac says, we can see this mirroring of his words in teaching of Bishop Brancian, So it was, the tradition was not broken, it was not changed. So this is confirmation that they are not trying to invent something new. They're like all these Holy Fathers, they try to bring us this teaching, Holy Fathers, and Brancian was trying to adjust this teaching to our modern times, but without losing some kind of radical edge, our radical aspect. And this is why I want to bring what originally Isaac Assyrian is saying different a little bit. And so if a man comes in front of king and asks for a piece of shit, you know what is shit?
Yeah.
Manure. What is better word? Okay. So if a man comes in front of a king and asks for that stuff you said, he said that he offends not only himself, the person, but with this request, poor request, offends king himself. And so it means, and why he says these words, he says, if you come in front of God with not worthy small request, it is offense to God. And look how, and we can say, well, so we should not ask for some kind of good things. Are we not supposed to ask for, so we have so many needs in our life. I have this, and we ask for so many things. Yesterday I saw on Facebook, somebody asked, oh Lord, please for my cat. Okay, it is creation, God's creation. If somebody wants to pray for cats, sure. No, if this cat provides some of friendship for that person, the person is alone, sure. Not sure. Isaac Assyrian says, you offend God if you ask for small things. And not what we are supposed to ask for then. What do you think?
Salvation.
Repentance, the spirit of repentance, forgiveness of sin. And I would say that's it. And I think that many fathers would say that's it. That we somehow we put this offense of God, if we offer him small, are many times egoistic wishes or requests. It is so huge that if we ask for something like less, we offend him. Because if we ask for salvation, we ask him to give us paradise. That means to give us the most important beautiful thing. So he will, with this, he gives us everything. He gives us, we are earth with Christ, you know.
Yeah.
We get this heritage, we get everything. Nothing will be missing. And we have to realize that this is very important to give, to realize. If I'm going in front of God, yes. If I'm going to with the bishop with some kind of request, I don't ask him to solve, like, well, our, I don't know, chair is broken, you know, can you help us with that? For sure not. But if I go there, I'm going there with the biggest problems of the parish. I cannot move with them. And if I come with each of these little things, I would be in problems. It might be, you know, not first time, not second time, but third time, probably yes. And it's logical. So the Holy Fathers, they reminds us, and he says that, and as he adds another thing, that if your deeds God doesn't like, don't ask big things from him, because then you will be like a man who tempts God. And look, if we just keep those things in our mind when we go to pray, okay, I don't want to offend God, so, well, I'm going to ask for big things. What are big things? Salvation, spirit of repentance, and forgiveness of sins, sanctification of soul. So immediately I'm raising my soul, my heart, to some kind of level, which is higher than my intention was before. And then I look to my heart and I judge my deeds, words, what is state of my heart. And if I find there that they are not worthy, not good, so at first I'm going to do reconciliation with God. Then I'm going to ask him for big things. At first I make repentance. I go to confession. I make this peace with God. I make my heart. And then I am able to ask. Because this is how does it work. How I, as a sinner, in a state of grace, sin sometimes, how can I ask for big things? It's like not logical. If we are putting God to somewhere like very not honest place, if we approach him without preparation, we approach him without this dignity. And also, we can see that prayer is preparing us, preparing our heart, or putting our heart to correct state, correct order, before we start to pray. If you remember those advices, before we start to pray, we went through judging our heart and judging our requests. And we make this preparation, then we, for sure, we will approach God with this all. Samuel, you said something.
It's popular to coach people in the faith, you know, hear it on the radio perhaps, to tell God everything, to bring everything to God. And oftentimes it's a small request that's brought up as an answer to God that strengthened their faith, somebody will say. Would you say that because it's advancing somebody in their faith, God humbles himself to help somebody on their path of salvation, even though it is such a frivolous request, but because it strengthens their faith, God will help them?
Well, God loves us. I don't know. You know, this is very difficult situation because I think that the last several decades there was movement, because even like small requests, if they are coming from humble heart, I think that they would fit with this. But the problem is, and I think that it was the problem in their time too, a little bit, if they are talking about that this push, you know, that to let's talk to God in your time, you know. I almost, you know, we have in Slovak, we have this saying that if we see some kind of like not wise talk, we say, my knife is opening in my pocket, you know, that you want to, well, use your fantasy. But this is something, because we give this advice to enter to some kind of conversation by your own words. We let people who are not mature in prayer to enter this. And they have this good feeling inside, because yes, I'm talking about me to God. Now, what happens? Do they talk to God? If they are chasing this good feeling, so they don't to God, they talk to their own ego. They are searching for this good feeling, satisfaction. So there are, at that time, it is not worship to God, it is worship to own ego. It is liturgy I am doing and celebrating my ego, not God. Now, so this is area when demons can enter. And for sure, this request, they can be fulfilled as a lie, deception, you know. And why? Because the demon wants you to continue in this idolatry when your God is your ego, your feeling, good feeling. So I to make this faith strong. What kind of faith, you know, it is? It is faith which is strengthened, that faith in God that I want to serve with all my life, and I want to make sacrifice, I want to change everything in my heart, or I just want to have this my feeling level. So I would be very careful there. I would even be more suspicious in this, and to say no, I don't trust, and be wrong, than to trust and to push somebody on the way, wrong way. Because always when I am careful, there's a blessing from God. If I'm careful and suspicious and I don't jump to everything, even it is okay, God would bless me because I'm careful about my soul. You know, and so my advice would be very to be careful. And you know what, I would turn off that radio. It's not good radio. Turn off, open like Holy Fathers or Bible and read that if you need to. We have a lot of these podcasts from different people. You have this. So listen to the voice of this, because now there are so many bad teachings, and they really... Somebody asked me, so does it mean that I cannot pray with my own words? Yes, you can. You can say Jesus prayer. You can say Lord help, Lord bless. That's it. You know, until you are not mature. You know, well, usually say, why we try to make experience? We have beautiful prayers. We were tested by Holy Fathers. And we pray these texts because we want to learn how to pray, to get the spirit of this prayer. If we don't do this, if we think that we are able to pray better than the saints in front of us, so it means it's a sign that our heart is full of pride. And we know that these miracles, like even like yesterday, this that even that that publican, he, what he said, he's just simple words, have mercy on me, a sinner. That's enough. God knows us. God knows our heart. God knows our everything we need. Did I answer your question? Somebody more? I expected that.
I forgot what I was going to say. No. Do these same rules apply when you're praying for other people? Like your children or...
Sure. Well, what are you praying for your children? It depends what kind of prayer it is.
Well, that's what I'm saying. That it
look,
if you're praying for their health or something like that.
All right. No. And now, what would Holy Fathers tell you? How do you know that God wants them to be healthy?
I think God wants them to be healthy.
I don't think so. I don't think so, because if that your child is on a path to hell, it's better if God allows sickness for the person because of salvation of his soul. And if you are asking for health, deliverance, you are going against God's will. Does it make sense?
No.
Okay, look, one thing is that I tell you, when I was in seminary, when my father died, there was like very strange situation. There was a lot of difficulties there. But there was one moment that was very difficult for me. And I remember that I asked God, why are you putting me through all this? Death of father, moving away, all these difficulties and problems we had at the time. Not caused by us, others caused to us. I said, why? Why? And there was like last moment, like huge humiliation came. Why? How many times we ask? And yes, you are forced at the moment to pray, God, give me relief. God, make me deliverance from that. You know, it's normal for us to ask for things which seems to us good. But we are not supposed to do this. We are supposed to, oh God, lead me to salvation. Do everything in my life which will bring me to salvation and to eternal life. And if we have this, so then we accept, we don't suffer too much. When you make this decision, okay, Lord, if this is your way for me, all right, I will go through. You know? So it means that if you are praying like for child and drugs, difficulties, sickness, or some kind of problem, everything. So what we are supposed to do, to say to God, oh Lord, I have the only request, salvation of soul of my child. If this serves for his salvation, keep his my child in these troubles. And if it is not, please help him. But still, we have to have this, keep this higher condition in our mind. We are not supposed to push God somewhere when he is doing good things for us and we don't understand them. You know. Does it make sense?
Yeah, I can
understand. It was so difficult. Honestly. I have to stop. I know.
Father,
yeah.
But don't go on from this yet, because when we request liturgies for people in our family or people who have died and whatnot, you know, I'm one that always requests for health and blessings and so what you're saying is that I should be asking for the salvation of that person?
And well, okay, so, and what are you asking for? If you ask for, if liturgy is offered for death,
mm-hmm.
deceased, So what are you asking during this liturgy? For salvation of the soul, to be in heaven. If you health and blessing for somebody, what we say in the many years, God grant him many years, what is the prayer meaning? It means, O Lord, give him enough years
for salvation.
For his salvation. It's not that to live a long time. Yeah. We can pray, give him many years and he can die tomorrow.
Yeah.
And because God says it is enough, you know. It is enough for him to live. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And one thing, another liturgy, we have to realize the liturgy is something, I would say, the most safe prayer. Because if we ask for the liturgy, there is intentional liturgy, we don't depend on ourselves. Mm-hmm. We asked that church, to pray.
Yeah.
And it means that, well, even we have our bad intentions, so all these saints, Theotokos, Christ, we ask them to come to join us in this liturgy when it's heaven and earth connected. We ask them to pray for this, our intention. And church is holy, perfect, it is mystical body of Christ, so prayer of church, of that church, it cannot be wrong. So even our not perfect prayer done through church, it's sure place. This is why we should attend a liturgy, you know, Vespers, on Molabands, everything. Mm. This is like why these liturgical gatherings are so important, because we gain this some kind of certainty that it is not only we. The church is praying with us, all these saints, angels. And I might be not perfect in my request, you know. Actually, they can be all these angels. Maybe they are laughing for what you are saying, asking. But they clean it, make it correct, perfect, and they bring it to the altar, because it is not I. I ask church to pray with me, and church carries this and cleans my request. Does that make sense?
Yes.
I don't know if the theology is totally correct. I will see later. But I would finish here this hour, and because I already took more time than I wanted, and I really want to use this opportunity to ask Bishop Milan to give us a word, and to look, if it is like Maggie and Joanne and those are troublemakers, they have very tough questions. So if you have something for us to share, and then if you want to ask, you might.
Thank you so much for this time. Thank you for the space. Yes, you are discussing, you are taking really seriously, you know, the most important thing in our spiritual life is a prayer, and really also your questions, what I'm hearing here, means that really you're taking serious. And it is good, and what I can to say about this more, that we are teaching, you know, the prayer all our life. Mm. And everybody, maybe you feel it, that we are always on some starting point to pray, how to pray. St. Paul is speaking about this. We don't know even ourselves how to pray. Holy Spirit is giving us, you know, what we need to ask. And you ask, you know, that the healthy, you know, that in our words, why, you know, this thought that of fathers of the theology, if you are good in prayer, you are a theologian. You know, this is a theology as a, if you know good to pray, you are a theologian. you know, the question of the theology also, you know, in West civilization or Western world, it's really in discussion, what does it mean? And where, you know, theology also today are coming, in sense, you know, to be always innovative, maybe it's up to recover something, discover something new. What we want to, you know, to discover new. So, and also my, so as did you know, this father is a Ignatius branch, you know, so I can to make too much, you know, to add to him. So from my side, he was big teacher of the spiritual life. And also I can tell you also my experience, and also I feel myself really also as a beginner of the, also in prayer. I'm struggling in prayer also myself. You know, that it's something what is important for me, for my life as a bishop, prayer. And yes, I have my time in the morning for prayer. Then more or less I'm trying to keep this time. I know it's not easy, maybe for you in family, maybe also as a student, maybe also, you know, just try to use, you know, the time to be in presence of God. This is my SL, this last experience, maybe what, you know, to maybe it's not necessary to verbalize, or maybe, you know, to maybe to how to, as a composer, you know, what we need to tell God. God is not curious about our, you know, prayers. Do you understand? Maybe, you know, to our presence before God is important. With all what we have and what we are, in all this, you know, situation what we are, to be there and to enjoy, you know, this time. Even maybe as I said, Saint Ignatius, about in a troubled situation, we never understand. We will understand later why God give us, you know, this or this. Our first reaction is really to be, you know, why God? As a small kid, you know, they don't understand. If somebody, the father knows what they want, what they need, the kids what they need, you know. No kids are going like to school, rare. But parents know why kids have to go to school. And this is also in our life, you know, all our life is a school of the prayer, a school of spiritual life, all our life. And even, and I'm happy, you know, that I'm seeing also, you know, you, that you be as a, you know, by your age, as experience, and you are here. Because you can say in humility that really we need to start, and it's a good. Because in every time is good to start. In every time, in everywhere. I can't say, oh, I'm just old, so nothing. No. Who is before, who is, what is all? All is relative. All is how to relative? Relative, that for to say what is a, when is a good time to pray, or maybe to start to learn to pray, to teach to pray. Always. If you are conscious in the last moment of your life, we have to start. Because, you know, all this world we're living here is only start. It's only start. Before us, you know, before all, is life with God, to be with Him always. So this is maybe what I wanted to, you know, to. I'm encouraging you really to love prayer, and to take prayer really as a your joy, as a your, you know, as a your breathing, your breast. He's giving. We are not conscious that we are pressing. Maybe we are jogging, you know, something, and after we are I'm not able. But it's something what is belonging to our life.
Don't do it in the church, you know, during the liturgy. I'm sorry. this noise, breath, you know, I'm sorry, I couldn't hold this.
So this is my experience, and yes, sometimes it's going this prayer, sometimes no. But come on, important is be continually to pray, you know, every day, you know, to have time for be with God. You know, maybe in car, turn off the radio, turn off this wonderful CD, turn off. And to try to be with, yes, in presence, God, with Jesus prayer. You know, to we are tempted, you know, to be creative, to, you know, to we have to be creative, but we have to be creative, maybe, I think, how to
please God.
This should be noise, you know, if two young people are dating together, they are each other, you know, finding how to please each other. This is image, only image, but something similar should be, you know, between myself and God, to please to God. If you will see, if you will feel that, and you have this, you know, these ideas, and this desire will be in our hearts, it's a good. Okay, that's all, maybe, to leave you some time.
Some questions. Maybe I was joking. You can ask.
So, so much of prayer has to do with trust. And obviously, like, we are children by adoption of God. So, given that we live in a really broken world, and then that brokenness is particularly reflected in the family, and also in other systems of authority, and that people growing up right now don't necessarily have a natural trust that there's someone above them that knows, even on a natural level, that knows what's best for them and the ability to submit to that. How, when you begin to have a serious prayer life, do you tackle that relationship of beginning to realize that, like, you have a loving Father who knows what's best for you, and that the response to His will is to submit, because that's, you know, sanctity is submitting to His will, when the world that we live in almost tells you the exact opposite wherever you go.
Can I make summary?
Mm-hmm.
You are using too many words.
I'm sorry.
I think that, did you ask that, how can you trust to God if your trust was broken by this world?
Yes.
You know, you can, you need to good discern. You can make confusion between world and God. God has consequences of the original sin. He is not perfect. We guess, you know, the world with all maybe our relations with others, maybe, you know, all is, you know, these loves what are existing in the world, and we have negative experience. What we need to see, we need to true image of God. Because many people, even many Christians, are living with false image of God. This is a big problem. What we need to do? We need to read the Bible. We need to read the Word of God. With this, you know, this, how to say this? This opens up to open our heart, especially in the Gospels. What is it Jesus, you know, is speaking about His Father? And maybe, you know, to follow His approach to His Heavenly Father. Do you understand me? You know, especially in John, Gospel in John, is, you know, described wonderfully how was, you know, relation with Jesus to Heavenly Father. It is very important. Next Sunday, we will celebrate in Byzantine Church the prodigal son. And I'm telling you now, this is the ideal image. Who is God? You will never find, you know, this image in the world. The approach, try to follow, you know, politics or maybe people around, nobody will have, you know, this approach. Because where we are, even as a family, we are vindicative. We are vindicative. We have, you know, the consequence of the origin sin. Then, you know, even though, you know, the fathers, many, you know, cases that, you know, the when something is broken, father is able, you know, to, how to say, to remove, you know, his son from heritage and say, come on, finish, stop. But this is the thinking of this world. It's not the thinking of God. God is always mercy. He's merciful. He's who is waiting for, according us, too much. God is waiting too much. This is a God. This is a true image of God. My approach. So you are asking how to maybe to, you know, if maybe you was maybe broken, maybe something was, you have negative experience, maybe from world.
Maggie, sometimes this question is that we ask how I can gain. It's not, nothing is turning on us. You know, sometimes I just, if you are not, what Bishop gave, perfect answer. And we can ask, okay, how can I accept this perfect answer? You know, it's clear answer, clear truth. Why this truth? Explain us. We have to ask, okay, I understand, but that, why it is not working? And then I have to look, okay, is my heart broken? Maybe I see that I blame everybody else. Maybe it is my pride. Maybe this pride, I say, I was broke, somebody offended me, somebody, you know? I'm just adding because it cannot be any bad. What Bishop said and gave this example us, then if there is some kind of resistance in us, you know, to it means that something is wrong in us. We have to look at this place to, you know, satisfy it.
I think so.
Good. Another question? Yes. Jonathan. Josh.
Yeah.
Josh.
In addition to prayer, what is the best way to rid our lives of pride?
It's easy to exercise your humility. To ask God, if you feel that you are proud, ask God that He will give you, Saint John Climacus is speaking in his, you know, ask God that He will give you occasion and He will be humiliate you.
Humiliate
you directly.
Immediately,
but be careful. Because God is taking this petition serious. And will be, as a, how to say, taking, you know, Italian spoke alla grande. Means, you know, in serious, but for our goodness. But also as a always, you know, it's simply always, if you have some, we have some problem with some wishes, and you know what you did with them, simply ask God the opposite. You have a problem with golosity? Try God, ask for measure in food. You have, you know, problem to speak too much? Ask God as a first. Prayer is a first. To be in silence. You have problem with too much being on internet? Net, you know, chatting? It's easy. Ask, but also try to do it, you know, to turn off the internet from your cell phone. Why you need, you know, to... Your parents never had cell phone internet, and they survive. Your grandfathers, you know, they use it brain. They see, you know, the nature, sun, stars, all. They are smart. So this is maybe as my simple, you know, answer.
Samuel. Questions about discerning God's will. Because taking responsibility for my family seriously leads to decisions, and sometimes a person can question, well, I could do this. Let's say I wanted to start my own business to take care of my family, and I'm thinking of it in those terms, but I'm recognizing that will require sacrifices of time that I could spend with my family or help a church or in prayer. Is it possible to do both, to think about both at the same time? Things that I know are God's will for me because I'm a husband and a father, but also worldly, how to approach something that's pretty much just a worldly care. It's a means to an end. How do I work on both at the same time?
It's complicated. Let's try to put it in one sentence.
But I understood, yeah. So your dilemma is how to discern from one side to take care of your family as a father, as a daddy, as a husband, from one side, and the other side, you see this, you know that God is providing you, and we need to have to distrust in God.
Yeah, how do I keep it from being like ambition, separating from actually being my duty to my family?
Yeah. So I think you know that it's first is the duty of your family to maintain. As a father, you have family, kids, and are not able to take care of themselves. Saint Paul, do you know? There is the expression, no kids have duty to take care of parents, but parents have duty to take care of kids. Try to find, St. Paul is speaking in one place. Why is he speaking? Because this is, you know, from naturality of the matrimony. You know, the procreation, as God gave, you know, the man and woman, you know, this gift, you know, to create new life and to cooperate with God, means also take care. Because you, as a father, as a husband, you will be as a first also, you know, the saved, as your salvation, concretely act of your love is going through your concretely steps of the take caring to your family. Right now, in this period, when you're a small kid, it's your, we can say, it's will of God. When you will be maybe 50, 60, and your kids, will be just independent. Do you understand? Will came, you know, the period on your life that it's, we can say it is a more as closely will be the monastic life. Do you understand? Also, you know, the relation, what is John Chrysostom is speaking about this. For why reason we are going, you know, the young people, men and women, are going, you know, in matrimony. And how is, you know, goal of matrimony? To transform from you know, these how to say, corporeal relations between men and women, to go to transform on spiritual relations between man and woman, for one goal, to your salvation. Because matrimony is not the goal. Priesthood and bishop ministry is not goal of my life. It's only tool. We, everybody of us, we have only one goal, unique goal, to be forever with God, unifying with God. So, could be as a little bit your temptation, Samuel, you have to be careful, because devil is, as you know, is smart and is a tricky. You know, is you are going in one extreme and he wants to, you know, to show you and to pull you longer than it is, that right now is your, you know, will of God. My expression, everybody, you know, married man with small kids, with his wife, ask me, it's clear. This is your prayer also, to be with God, the presence with, be with your kids, be with your wife, in your family. Right is not your prayer, because your kids, they need to identify with you as a husband and as a man and as a father. This is a problem today. The serious problem today in society, Western society. Do you understand? And you are doing big job in such big ministry, because you know you are head of your domestic church. Nobody can sustain you, even myself, even the father Miron. Do you understand? Only yourself. This is your how to say, you are original. Your place right now, nobody can, you know, to sustain. Only you. Do you understand? Okay.
Well, thank you very much. Before we want to ask you for your blessing for this our group and for all those who are not here today, who couldn't come. But before, I want to make last comment. Remember what happened now. What happened now was that we gather around Bishop and we are asking Bishop to teach us our spiritual things. And this is like really traditional a role of Bishop in East. It was that people were running to Bishop to ask, teach us. And usually there was like chair in the front of icon screen and Bishop was sitting and was teaching. Bishop is like, and we were taught that Bishop is not saying homily, he is teaching, and he is teaching like sitting. You are not doing that. You should sit. This is how church should like, that we should come to this who are apostles for us and to ask and teach us how to come to salvation. And I am very thankful that you accepted this invitation for this evening and that you taught us, that it shows us this taste, how it should be. And I think that if you have more bishops who would do this like you did today, to come among us and to teach us how to go to heaven, I think that our church and that church, whole church, will grow very fast. So thank you very much, and we'll be praying for you for this your effort and sacrifice, because you have a lot of things to do and you found time for us. Thank you very much, and please give us your blessing.
The blessing of the Lord be upon you through his grace, loving kindness, always, now and never, and forever.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you so much to be with you.
We hope you enjoyed this podcast. Please share it with those who might like to be enriched by this teaching of Holy Bishop Ignatius. If you live in our area, we would love if you could join us for our study in person on Monday nights at 7 p.m. at St. Nicholas Byzantine Catholic Church in Barberton, Ohio. Thank you, and God bless.